You might have heard a feature on this show last week put together by Lake Effect Susan Bentz.
She spent some time in far northern Wisconsin and captured a bit of what's happening on the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, namely making its islands and lighthouses more accessible to people of all abilities.
Today, Susan shares another story from the Lake Superior region. The Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center, west of Ashland and south of Bayfield, is nearly 20 years old and is in the midst of a major green makeover.
Susan gives us an audio glimpse of that work and introduces us to some of the people who make the center hum.
With its sweeping 180 acres before him, U.S. Forest Service Program Manager Jason Maloney beams as he watches a crew erecting the infrastructure to support four rows of solar panels, 100 kilowatts worth. The work and the effort to fund it goes back 10 years to Maloney's predecessor at the center.
You have to shop them around for a while, so it took several years before we were able to obtain funding, which we did in a national competition in the Forest Service for capital improvement projects. And the reason that this one was selected was because it was such a neat combination of energy efficiency retrofits on an existing structure and then also alternative energy production to try to get us as close to a zero net state as possible.
The visitor center itself, which resembles the top slice of a lighthouse, opened in 1998. Maloney says its design fell just before a major turning point in construction engineering.
It was kind of like the end of the old school, and just before a lot of the new modern practices that are much more sustainable caught on.
He said with age, its 37,000 square footness developed a number of quirks.
Quirks like leaks, where treated air, either warm or cold, can leak out and water can leak in. And so part of the project has been to redo the outer envelope of the building, basically to take the failing siding off, insulate, and then reapply new modern siding so that it's now a tight fit.
But Maloney boasts the building and its grounds are poised to become not only a sustainability showcase, but a demonstration of partnership with a capital P.
And we've got 25 natural gardens here. We've got a native seed orchard that's about an acre. We also have an agroforestry test plot that is a windbreak, but we've used that as a chance to do some demonstrations also. It's got a biomass grow demonstration with hybrid aspen. We've also worked with Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife on projects, including one of their food sovereignty, preservation of native recipes projects. And that helped us inform what else to plant in that windbreak. So we've got, Juneberry, blueberry, highbush cranberry, and American hazelnut.
Maloney says the visitor center exists not because of the federal or state government, rather thanks to a committed group of local volunteers. It started with a distinct focus.
So the building was actually designed around an archive that houses the Wisconsin Historical Society archive of primary source materials for eight of the northern counties here in Wisconsin. And so when you come here, we've got a marriage of partners that delve into the hard sciences, but then we've also got the humanities represented in the building. And frankly, that changes everything, because when we cooperate on projects, we're going across agency boundaries. And because of the different skill sets that my colleagues bring from their different employers, we end up with usually a very rich tapestry.
Inside the center, on the second floor, archivist Linda Mittelstadt invites us into her domain. She watches over eight northern Wisconsin counties' worth of records, records like historical manuscripts and genealogical records.
This is the archival storage area, and you can see it's humidity and thermostatically controlled.
It smells like a great library.
It is. There's a lot of old paper in here. Oops. This is just an index, so it's just going what it does.
Whoa.
Here, and it's all, of course, it's all handwritten, and yeah. it's not in alphabetical order. It goes by the letter, but then everything is more chronological. So you have to have, it can be a little bit of searching, and then you find your name, and you maybe look up something, and you pull it out, and let's just take a peek here. What kind of stuff you can find out.
So, for instance, the top name up here is William King. And it said
1857 is the year that he got his Declaration of Intention, and he did that in I don't know what county that would be. It was not even a county anymore.
Huh.
And then he got his petition in 1889.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the early ones. But this is kind of information you can find on when you go into the later ones. It tells you who it was, what port they left out of, what port they came into.
So in this case, we've got...
came from Gutenberg, Sweden, came in through the port of... He came on the Canadian Pacific Railways where he came through, so he came on a rail car.
And then there's a note. I have one child.
Yeah, born March 26, 1925 in Mason, Wisconsin.
It turns out Center Director Jason Maloney wasn't exaggerating about the rich tapestry of partnerships. In an office tucked in the Visitor Center basement, we find Taylor Tibbles, who works with landowners on restoration and stewardship projects.
I set up the landowner with a technician who actually does the visit. And then they talk to the landowners about their property goals or project goals, resource concerns that they may have on their property. And we have a couple key species that were priority species that we're focused on.
What are those?
Sharp-tailed grouse, goldenwing warbler, brook trout, Kirtland's warbler, and then water quality, or what we've kind of tagged as slow the flow.
Around the corner, we bump into Michaela Fisher, holding impressive red-handled steel loppers.
I'm an intern here at the Visitor Center, and I do a bunch of different things. I do a lot of interpretive programs for the public. Like last year, I did an animal tracking program for kids. This year, I'm going to be doing a Love in the Northwoods series, which focuses on different animals' courting methods. But I also do other things like trail maintenance and boots on the ground stuff, which is what I'm doing right now, which is just like weeding and maintaining the grounds.
The college student is back for her second season. Fisher is one of five interns here this summer. What brought Fisher back? Again, it's the tapestry.
I really like that there's a bunch of different organizations that work here. So you have the Park Service and Fish and Wildlife, Forest Service, Friends of the Center, and Wisconsin Historical Society. Am I leaving any out? Extension, yeah. And so you just get like a really cool blend of people working together and a lot of different personalities and different organizations. And because of that, I think collaboration is a lot easier than if you were just with one organization. And the thing I love about this job is I get to do so many different things on any given day. And Jason's an awesome supervisor. Like, we have a list of things we have to do, but most of the time he's like, just go do it. So, you know, if I'm feeling like I really want to get out in the field like today, I can do that. But if I want to come down here and do some research for some programs, last year I helped write a grant for the Visitor Center, and I helped manage the Facebook page this year, so I get to do like a lot of different things. That's really cool.
Director Jason Maloney says that's the formula. Listen to people, point them in the right direction, and set them free. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
Susan Bentz is WUWM's environmental reporter. You can see pictures of the work on the Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center at WUWM.com.